Conclave is a conspiracy thriller set in the intriguing and timely setting of the Vatican's process for finding the replacement for a pope, which is called a conclave. This small drama with an impressive cast asks important questions for Catholics and Protestants alike. Does ambition hinder or serve our spiritual leaders? Is faithful Christianity about progress or traditionalism? And do personal politics play into the church community more than we'd like to admit? I sure like asking those kinds of questions, and though it's rated PG, we think the slow pace of this film, coupled with some of the more mature themes explored, lends itself to be reserved for viewers around 16 years and up. That being said, we do recommend the captivating drama of Conclave. Full review coming up right now on Rocket Pop.
Rocket Pop.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in orbit.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
Jeff, when Cardinal Lawrence, one of your favorite actors, Ralph Fiennes, is tasked with leading one of the world's most secretive and ancient events, which is selecting a new pope, he finds himself at the center of a web of conspiracies and intrigue that could shake the very foundation of the Catholic Church.
No!
Are you interested in Conclave based on that description?
Am I?
Yes.
Especially for this time in history, right?
I know. It's crazy that I don't know if it's impossible, right? If somebody's writing a movie, they think, just see, in 2.5 years when this thing will be made, there might be a pope going out. And then they'll be looking for a new pope. But this movie came out several months ago. I went and saw it in the theater because it is a movie designed for me. And then now it's super timely because there's been the passing of a pope. So one of the attractive things about this movie to me, I've said this to you before, is anytime we get entrance into a little secret world that we don't know anything about, you know, I don't know what it's like to be a movie producer. And, you know, movie makers love to make movies about making movies. And it's kind of interesting. I kind of wonder how that world works. I loved the Downton Abbey movie, which was about making a movie at the Abbey. So you meet the director and some of the stars, et cetera. This is the same kind of thing. We are getting to peek over the fence at a world that we do not have access to, which is a cocoon inside a cocoon. The Vatican itself is a bizarre, what in the world is that? It's its own country, and you get to run your own little economy, and you have a little king.
They have an army. They have their own little army.
It's bizarre. And this is a much more elite world inside that world, which is, this is a gathering of the cardinals. A conclave means that there's no one that comes in and out. They are shuttered off together, and they have to, I'm going to insert this word, hopefully, prayerfully come up with what is God's will for who the next pope will be. So this has never been attempted to be captured on celluloid at all. And inside that setting, there is, of course, a fictional story, a little drama that's made there. But it is certainly fascinating. And I can't help that this is coming to mind at this time when they are on the search for a new pope.
I couldn't agree more. Anytime there is that moment where you're peeking over a fence, but you talk about well, the movie world. Okay, that's interesting. But we have some that, can we name anything that's more secretive in the world than this very thing, them selecting a new pope? This is based off of a book written by Richard Harris. I think it was 2016. And when this book came out, it was like, this guy had done some research, and the question was, how did he do this research? This is, I mean, was he once a cardinal?
What, right.
How does he know these things?
Right.
The closest we've come is, I think, the Da Vinci Code. or one of those books and movies, they do a little bit of the conclave type of thing, but nothing to this degree. And I want to stack hands with you on this. I think one of the reasons it's interesting to get into a world like this that you don't know about is if it's done well, it leads you through and educates you. I mean, this is so hard for a writer.
True.
To educate you on the world while building drama. It'd be one thing if they go, okay, before you see this movie, you're going to need to read this pamphlet.
Right.
Explain everything. Then you'll have the rules. They've got to explain the rules while they're building the drama. And this does a really good job of that. You're learning the argo. You're learning the rules. You're learning just every little thing. And that's a really, that's a tough needle to thread.
Yeah, good point. Regarding the craft of this movie, the director is Edward Berger, and I just made a list of adjectives that come to mind with this film. I'm just trying to give people a frame of reference for what the movie's like. It's slow, it's quiet, it's orchestral, it's thoughtful, stately, complex, and intriguing. One of the staging of the movie, which is really small. There's really a very small cast of players in this movie, but it felt like I was trying to think of things like the movie Clue or Knives Out, where there's a fixed amount of people. They're in a little pressure cooker. They've got to interact with each other, and there's got to be an outcome, and you've got to figure it out.
That's 12 Angry Men,
right? Or if you remember the movie Spencer, which was a movie that came and went, but it was about Princess Diana with the royal family and what's she going to do with her relationship with the royal family. Small group of people, because it's this elite world.
In TV episodes, you'll see an episode like this and are usually made about midway through the season so that the production company can save a few bucks. It's called a bottle episode. And it's they take all the characters and basically put them in a bottle. Somehow, for one reason or another, all the main characters are stranded in a cabin for the weekend. So real cheap, we can shoot it all in one location, but it's really hard to write a good bottle episode.
Right.
This is, to some degree, I mean, there's a little bit outside of the Vatican, hardly any. This is like a bottle episode movie.
What comes to mind, of course, would be Seinfeld stuck in the parking garage.
Yes. Or the Chinese restaurant.
I was going to say, or the Chinese restaurant. Yeah. This movie, I made reference already, it has a popping cast. So everybody has gravitas in this movie. The wonderful Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci, John Lithgow, and 30 Rock's incomparable Isabella Rossellini. These people, you're just waiting to see what comes out of their mouths. Every one of them is a show stealer on their own. And then you get them together and you're like, oh, it just feels very important. I was thinking about Fiennes and whether he's playing a Q on James Bond or We Loved Him in Quiz Show, all of the things that he's done. He was the Voldemort. One thing that he does so well is he presents the internal complexity of, I have two choices to make. I wish I didn't have to make either one, but I'm resigned. I've got to do it. So be it. Here we go. I mean, that kind of complicated... He frowns a lot, you know, which is I've got to make this decision, and then resolve comes into play. There's something about the way that he presents that kind of dynamic that makes him seem serious and important, whatever he's doing. Do you agree?
Yes. So we sound like a couple of middle-aged guys going on and on about a couple of great actors who are not, I don't know, whoever, Brad Pitt, whatever the big person is. But Ralph Fiennes, by the way, if you see his name, it looks like Ralph Fiennes. It's pronounced Ralph Fiennes. There is something really he's just one of those people you can't take your eyes off the screen when he is up there. Whether it's something like the Grand Budapest Hotel, totally different character, or Schindler's List, he plays Gert, the head Nazi in charge of the concentration camp, or Quiz Show. And in this is just one more thing where he's coming at it with this moral dilemma.
Yes.
And it's on his face at every point. And as much as I love him, I felt like who beat him out in this movie is Stanley Tucci, who this guy, I mean, he's just like, you almost, he's not a household name. Now there's Ralph Fiennes, but he's not a household name. If he's in a movie, your eyes are on that guy. He doesn't care what else he's got going. He's like, I'm going to draw you in with some intensity. I recently rewatched, speaking of a movie about Catholicism, I recently rewatched Spotlight, and he plays this lawyer who just is fed up, and every scene he's really good at bringing you into what he's feeling. So the fact that this movie is a great movie because of Ralph Fiennes and Stanley Tucci, I don't know if that's going to sell anybody on it, but boy, are they great.
Well, they're more than serviceable in what they're asked to do. Just to give people a feel for the movie again, you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about that I enjoy is like really slow, thoughtful space movies. There seems to be a space movie every 2 or 3 years that comes out that's very slow, where there's suspense everywhere. You're supposed to feel the atomization of space and the isolation. This thing is slow. You get a lot of like quiet overhead shots with a little bit of orchestration happening. And we're just supposed to feel this world has been here forever. It moves very slow. And the decisions that are made here affect the entire world. So it feels like, it feels more important than a government even. This somehow the Vatican's influences affect governments, right? So if you're going to have to be a patient viewer, and if you're used to the Marvel universe, this might not be the movie for you. But if you like the idea of the cocoon of the Vatican and the secrecy and the shadowy kind of figuring out what everybody's motives are, this is a winner.
This movie works because of the dialogue and the acting. That's why it works. So if you're like, well, it sounds like a boring movie, it may be for you, but if crackling dialogue that's moving things along intrigues you at all, basically this is a stage play. It's a stage play with the best writing to where you're okay, this, well, now I'm over here on this side and maybe this. It's strangely, if you were to if you were to mute the movie and watch it, you would fall asleep in moments. I mean, you get a few beautiful shots and then you fall asleep in moments. It's the dialogue. Like, you could almost just listen to this movie and you would feel, that's if true. You're into this kind of thing, you would feel what you would feel in a Mission Impossible movie almost because of the intrigue that they're building.
Good point. I wouldn't mind listening to this movie at all. I was just looking at the screenplay earlier today and just like, these lines are spankling, boy. The lines they put in Tucci's mouth, for instance, they're just great.
And they're efficient. There's no fat in this. I think I've talked about that in other movies. This is a very lean movie. Yes. It moves right along. And so at this point in the episode, you've kind of already decided, is this something that I and my wife or whomever would be able to tolerate? Yeah. Okay, great. Now at this point, I think we've got you, that you're interested. This is a good craft for us.
Okay. Let's talk about messaging.
All right.
Now that we're here. The number one thing that comes to mind with this film is ambition. Specifically, ambition with people who have in front of them spiritual leadership. This is the Catholic Church we're talking about. So these are the leaders of the leaders of the leaders of the Catholic Church. So the question is, how much ambition is in any of these people? It comes up over and over again. And one of the repeated accusations they make about each other is, you don't have any ambition. You have too much ambition. You say you don't have any ambition, but you do. You have more than all of us, etc. There's a line given to a peripheral character who says, he doesn't want it, meaning the pontificate. He doesn't want it, and that's why I support him. It's the ones that do want it who are dangerous. And you kind of think about that for a second. And I immediately thought of church pastors. I immediately go to I know 20-year-olds right now who say someday I want to be running my own church because I have opinions and I have ideas, and this is how I think of how I want to run a church someday. And you think to yourself, is that good? I don't know. Is it more holy to go, I just want to be a servant. I don't care if I'm mopping up, and you are plucked like David from obscurity, and you go, you're going to be the king. And he goes, well, I'm ready for whatever the Lord has for me. Or do you want someone who goes, no, I have a vision and a drive because I believe that God made me to be a leader. So I do have a vision of what I want. And it just asks this question over and over. And I love musing on it because the idea of eldership or church leadership is an important one. And so I like looking at really honestly at all these people. And our main character, the Fines guy, he was going to quit his job right before the story of the movie started. And the Pope wouldn't let him quit his job. And he's like, I'm not meant for this. I don't want to be doing this. And you see these guys who are in top tiers grappling with their faith. Do I even believe in the church? What do I think of there being a pope at all? It just really makes you ponder this whole issue of ambition.
So real quick, I think we need to build some connective tissue here.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people who probably are listening to this or watching this may not be Catholic. And they're probably right off the bat put off about this. Like, I'm not Catholic. What do I give a rip about how the Pope, outside of maybe faint curiosity? I think what you're saying is, look, it doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Protestant. If you're Protestant, you're like, this idea of a Pope is bananas. Like, this is weird. That's fine. But there are still, what you're saying is there are still deeper issues that are common here. And if yes. you'll open yourself up, you're going to get some interesting thoughts about this idea of ambition. It's funny, as you were laying out the David thing, my heart's going, yeah, that's the way it should be. Like, look, if that's what you got from me, I'll take it. But then I think about the scripture in the New Testament. What does Paul say? It's a good thing to want. What does he say? He
says spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts, and for someone who desires to be an elder,
correct,
it actually says that's a good thing. And you go, that to me is one of those verses that I think if someone said it to you and you hadn't read it before, you go, I don't think that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because it seems so contradictory. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And Paul talks about his ambitions in a couple of places. One is that it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not previously known. So he's thinking off in the corner, what do I want to do? I tell you what I want to do. I want to be in a situation where I can do X, Y, and Z. You think, well, that's ambition.
Right.
Is that wrong? No. If his ambition was to make his own name great, I want people to think I'm wonderful. Okay, that's not good. But again, it's a chewy subject. And I'm not Catholic. I don't ever plan on being Catholic. And yet these issues, I think, are salient.
Could we also, because I think this comes back to some of the tangle in the idea of ambition in this movie, is could we say that Paul was ambitious to maybe even have more of a voice than a lot of the false teachers that were out there?
No question. He says in a couple of places, that guy says he has a right to speak. I have more of a right than anybody. God himself called me. He lays out his resume in his letters. I'm a Pharisee among Pharisees, etc. Nobody has paid the price more than me. These are the kind of things where there are accusations, as you know, levied at Paul for being arrogant. And so somehow we should dismiss the letters that he wrote. Well, that's not the case. And I don't think he's any more arrogant than we see there's accusations of Joseph being arrogant in the Old Testament. If you believe what God says about you, it's not arrogant. It's actually humility to go like, I'm not budging from what God says about me. And that's where Paul came from. There is a character in Conclave he's like David. He comes from left field. Nobody expects this guy. The character's name is Benitez. And he gives a monologue towards the end of the movie and kind of sums up, he kind of represents the way that we've been feeling about this whole thing. And he says, you know, at the end of the day, we are small men concerned with ourselves, this election, and the affairs of this organization. And he, what he's saying is, do we even care about God and men? Isn't that our job, to care about God and men? We're so self-concerned. And I love that comment. And he's a very interesting character. And we know almost nothing about him. All these other guys are the old heads. They're the old guard. They've been around. And this guy comes out of left field. And you wonder, well, is that kind of foreigner guy, is he actually speaking truth? Is he the one that kind of represents God's heart in this thing? So there's all these dynamics that are super interesting. I'll throw up some other messaging things that come up through the movie, because I think they'll help inform whether you think your kids should be seeing this or not. For instance, one of the repeated questions is sexual sin truly disqualifying for a minister? If so, how old? How long ago would that sexual sin have happened? How bad does the sexual sin have to be? What about bribes? What about stealing money? It's just, again, it's a question about what is spiritual leadership and who gets to have it. And there's a lot of angling going around. I kind of want the job. I'm gonna accuse that guy because I want him to fall so I can get the job, etc. It sounds like there's glee taken in this stuff, like to knock down the church. I don't think that's the point of this movie. It's just real people in this pressure cooker situation. And what do they do? And of course, there's sin involved, but you should just know that some of that stuff is in the water. One thing that I noticed that just made me jump up is using God's name as a cure-all or a cover-up for whatever's going on. That comes up in the movie. I always think my example is young men who would say to a girl that they like, God has told me that we're supposed to be together. Now, I always tell guys, you're using the Lord's name in vain when you do that, because you're trying to use his name to borrow some equity for what you want. And in this movie, there's a guy who goes, you know, when we were taking that vote, and I was getting lots of votes, I felt the Holy Spirit in that room, he actually said. He's trying to convince Cardinal Lawrence that I'm really God's choice for this thing. And you feel, now that's dirty. You're not allowed to say that. That's not right.
You can feel it. Just don't say it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can't recommend yourself with something like that. Before we get off of messaging, a couple of watchouts. Cardinal Lawrence gives a little homily where he makes the statement that certainty is the great evil. So he's trying to make an argument against arrogance and overconfidence. But in our age, in the age that we're in of relativism, it sounds like a dangerous statement, because what immediately came to mind for me is Paul saying, well, I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced. I thought of Jesus saying, your word is truth in John 17. And that there are things that we're absolutely certain about. We know that God made the world. We know that he made us in his image. We know the gospel is true. And so that didn't quite ring comfortable for me to have the guy standing up there and saying certainty is the great evil.
This movie asks so many questions. And so in and of itself, it's interesting. There are moments where it does feel like you can't really put your finger on how you know, but you get the sense that the filmmaker is saying, but this is something we do believe, that we do want to push forward as good. And I think that sermon is one of those.
I agree.
And it's funny, that's ripped from my headlines, something going down with a friend who seems to be grace-filled in saying, look, we can't be certain about things. And it seems very open-minded and whatever. In 2025, that is not the message that the Lord is communicating to humanity.
Right. And for a young person whose worldview might still being shaped, in the process of being shaped, that message is not helpful. It actually, I think, sends them into a more worldly state of mind, which is, well, everything's equal, which is not how the Bible presents truth.
There are certain things that we are uncertain about? Yeah, for sure. There's mystery, but it doesn't, that doesn't really, he's not talking about the mystery there in these things. It seems to be more like we should not ever feel like we've got this figured out.
That's
to
right.
some degree. That's a very dangerous place to be.
Yes. Another watch out is that though this movie isn't what I think of as a stump speech for leftism, I really thought it was very fair-handed. For instance, I mentioned in the introduction, there's an ongoing debate about does the church serve God and the world best by being progressive, that is constantly changing with the times, or being conservative and always referring back to the past and going like, well, that's not what the early church did, so we're not going to do it. That's a good conversation, and I thought it presented that even-handed. Even so, this movie does repeat some modern refrains that might be dangerous to young minds. For instance, diversity is the same thing as unity. So that's not true. So if you have a congregation full of people that have 100 worldviews, that's not unity. We really want one worldview, which is a biblical worldview. There are things that we want diversity in, for instance, diversity of spiritual gifts, cultural and ethnic diversity. Great. All that stuff is great. We're not looking for a diversity of worldviews. Tolerance is more important than the certitude of truth. That's not true. That faith requires doubt. You know, that again, that's that kind of, that seems very mature to say faith requires doubt. And certainly God isn't offended by doubt, but faith doesn't require doubt. It is cynical in a way. And so these messages can insidiously undermine a foundation that Christian families are trying to lay for their children. So I just think that discussion would be recommended after watching, because you don't want those things to lie on your children and then calcify and become part of their worldview. They can hear them. They just need to be able to process them and go, okay, we don't believe that, but that's interesting, you know, that a character would say that or whatever.
I think one of the most surprising things in this movie, you talk about being even-handed. There were a few times that a conservative-minded character said something and it wasn't shot down, or it was said in a way that, like, that's a good point.
That's
and
true.
I was sitting and watching this in a hotel room, and I'm looking around going, they just said that without being challenged in a 2025 movie. This doesn't make any sense to me. Was this movie actually made in 1984? Right. Very surprising to me a few times.
Right,
so
right.
I like that. I mean, you're chewing on some hard things.
Yes. So it is a beautiful, well-acted, taught movie that gets into really chewy questions. That's what I loved so much about this movie, besides the fact that I just kind of love suspense thrillers. I love the unfolding of a mystery. And there's a turn that happens just 15 minutes in the movie. They establish the world. There's a turn that happens in 15 minutes. You're like, well, wait a second, that changes everything. Of course, it changed everything.
The movie is clearly building towards who's going to be the next pope.
Yes.
And look, if somehow the videotape conked out before you find out, it's still a great movie.
Yes.
It's still a great movie. We're not going to spoil the ending of this.
No.
I personally, there is like an addendum at the end of this movie that I did not care for. I don't think it helped any of the points it was trying to make.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we can't really get into this, but know this, that you're going to have a conversation about what happens at the very, very end of this movie.
Yes. And yes, I'm going to touch on that in a second. When I'm describing family fit, again, I'll reiterate, the themes in this movie would require discussion. And even if I went with a peer of mine, a couple of middle-aged guys, we'd still talk through these things because they are provocative.
That's a fun dinner after a movie, right? Just like talking through this stuff.
Absolutely. And I love that with my kids, to see a movie like this. Then we go get dessert somewhere and go get a milkshake and talk about it. I love that. So there are things in this movie that you're going to want to discuss. Doesn't matter who you're with. You're going to want to discuss some of the issues in this movie. There's fornication, which is not necessarily condemned, it's kind of treated, it's off camera, and it's kind of treated like, we don't know what to do with that. Bribing, manipulation, lots of accusation, and finally, the very, very delicate subject of gender confusion that does come into this movie. So be advised. And I think it's worth the price, honestly. I like the idea of walking through questions like this with would-be disciples, and I'm putting my children in that group. It works like a catechism, I think, if we can address subjects like this. This is one of the uses of film, isn't it? Is that we don't actually have to go through this ourselves, but we can see someone going through this, have a conversation that helps equip somebody for going through life. We do recommend this movie for families and for older teens. I think maybe 16 and up would be appropriate. And again, we would recommend some family discussion after this movie. So I found Conclave tight and riveting. I felt access to a secret world about which I know almost nothing. And I found the interpersonal intrigue delicious. If you're a patient moviegoer, Conclave will reward you. I give it 4 out of 5 papal rings. Go see Conclave.
3, 2, 1, 0. Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.